Okay, lesson 7, the role of children. Let me pray, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our class. Lord, I love our class. I love the fun that we have as we come together, as we study. Lord, as we think about the role of husbands and wives and parents and children and family as a whole and all these different things, help us, Lord, as we study this to see things that will help each one of us, whether we're a daddy or a mama or a husband or a wife or a child or whatever we are, that it would help us to be able to know what to do, how to live, all of those things. Lord, we know that you have given us your word, your written revelation for us to know and apply. And so, Lord, as we study the Bible, help us to live our lives as believers based on the word of God so that we can be an example in this community and that we can do the things that are right, that are pleasing, and that we can have marriages and families the way that you want us to have. Lord, thank you for so many great ones in our church. Thank you for all that they do. Teach us now, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3, just as we'll just start there. We're continuing our role of what we're calling family relationships. We're talking about how those who belong to Jesus Christ, the title of the whole study is called Recognizing the Role, but we're looking at this. We want to be different. As those who belong to Christ, we want to live in a different way. So what are we supposed to do? Now, here's what we've done. We have seen marriage. We've seen that as a whole. We've talked about husbands and wife. Now we really kind of sort of get in the family. When you start talking about children and parents and relationships, you're getting more in what most people call family. And so I don't like to make the distinction because I think the whole thing fits together. So there's a lot of good materials and a lot of good things out there. But we want to start looking sort of at the family. It's the powerful unit. It's the building block. It's of all society. That's why it is so important when all of this is happening about renaming a family or what constitutes a family in the United States or is it two people of the same sex, people opposite sex, are they married or not married? What brings all this about? You have to know that the building block of society is one man, one woman in a marriage relationship for life. That's the plan, and that's what's supposed to happen, and that is the building block and the basis for society. We know that sometimes things happen, and it doesn't always work out that way. God takes you right where you are, right where you are. Now, let me tell you what I found. I found this because we're thinking about the role of children and children in our lives. A University of Maryland study, parents spend less than 17 hours per week with their children. In 1965, it was 40 hours per week with their children. Now it's 17. And what does that even mean? Does that mean watching TV at the same time or just passing through the room? I mean, we don't even know exactly what that is. We're to be lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which we shine as lights in the world. And we want to look at the children. And we're going to talk about in the next two lessons, children have rights, children have responsibilities. And we'll see how that ties together. There's so much there. Well, there's a teaching. And I know Susie could tell you this because she's had all of this as well. There used to be a teaching, some people still teach it, that children come into the world like a blank slate. You come in and then what you are is because of the environment that shapes you. And that some say that children are really neither good or bad, that the teaching they receive and the results of the environment causes people to do right or do wrong. But we don't think that. We believe that we come into the world dead in trespasses and sins. We come into the world needing to be taught what's right because we naturally do what is wrong. We're not blank slates. Now, we're wonderfully made by our great God, but we come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. That's what the Bible says. Now, when you think about it, we are unique people. Look at this. Psalm 139, I think I have that on your deal, don't I? Yeah, we come into this world as special and unique persons. Okay, if you want to write that down. Special and unique persons. And I want you to think about it. Psalm 139. We are made in the image of God. You know, I love, if you've never studied Psalm 139, if you just do like about the first 14 verses of the chapter, first 14, 15, somewhere in there, you'll see that we are uniquely made, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're formed, even the word there has an idea of a tapestry and that God just forms us and makes us, and it's so special. Listen, every one of us, you know, here's one of the problems in our lives. We look around at people and we say, I want to be like them. The truth is, you should say, I want to be like me. Not me, you. We want to be like you. God made you different than anyone else ever and will ever be. You're the most unique person ever. And it's okay to say, I look at somebody and I see their character qualities. And I want to have that same kind of character. But to say, I don't like the way I am. I don't like this. I don't like this. Listen, God made us with our personalities and our minds and everything. And some of you are so smart in some things. You could say, oh, I can do that. And some of us will go, how do you even do that? And then some of us are good in something else. And you go, how do you do that? Listen, if you ask me to fix anything, I will break it. Right? But you ask me to study the Bible, and I'm okay because I got the gift of teaching. And I can say, okay, let me see if I can put this together. Let me see if I can tell you what this means. I can do that. But if you tell me, go fix something, I'm not any good at those kind of things. But somebody else could say, I can do this. And here's a guy that he can take that guitar, right? And he can just start playing it. Now, I know it takes a lot of practice and work, but you could give me that guitar, and you could give me 100 years, and I could never even touch what he does because I can't do that. I can't do that. I lost a finger too. See, that would hurt a little bit as well. So anyway, things like that. So we are unique. And at the same time, we're sinners. Ephesians 2:1, we're dead in trespasses and sins. We come in this world dead in sin. Romans 5:12, through one man, sin in the world and death by sin. Death passed upon all people. We come in this world fallen and dead in sin. So when you think about those little babies, we just had a baby dedication. We'll have it in the second service. If you were in the first service, you saw these beautiful little children up there. Are they beautiful? They're the greatest, aren't they? And yet, they're sinners. Aren't they? Just don't give them their food for a little bit and see what they do. Right? Don't give them the toy they want. Tell them they got to go to bed when they don't want to go to bed. Tell them they got to take a bath when they don't want to take a bath. See? We come into this world special and unique as well as fallen. Now, listen to this. And I got this written down. I want to say this. There is a God-given relationship between the parent and the child. It is to take children and to help them to develop, to know and trust the living God, to live according to the Word of God, which is right, to develop according to the personality, strengths, and talents that God has given. That's why the verse says, train up a child in the way that he should go. A lot of people think that means train him up in the Bible truth. That doesn't mean that. It actually says train them up in their bent, their natural way. Some of us can do some things. We are to train our children based on their strengths and their talents and their abilities, and we're to help them understand the truths of God's Word and help them to live it out. It's powerful. Now, when we think about children, it is amazing. Special relationships. I want to read to you something that I got from James Dobson a long time ago. This is from his book, Hide and Seek. It's called One Life. Listen to this. His life began with handicaps. His mother had been married and divorced twice. Her third husband, which is his father, died 2 months before he was born. He was raised by a domineering mother. She gave him no affection, no love, no discipline, and no training in his early years. He was forbade to call her at work. At age 13, school psychologists wrote, he doesn't even know the meaning of the word love. Despite a high IQ, he failed high school and dropped out and joined the Marines. But due to his lack of discipline and resisting all authority, he was discharged from the Marines. He moved to a foreign country and married a girl who had been an illegitimate child, and they came back to America. She too dominated him, and his marriage crumbled. She pushed him out of the home. He came back and begged her to take him back, but she refused. He thought nobody wanted him. Nobody ever wanted him. The next day, he went to his garage, and he got a rifle that he'd been hiding there. And he went to his new job, which he had acquired at a book storage building. From the third story window on November 22nd, 1963, he fired 2 shots, killing President John Kennedy. His name was Lee Harvey Oswald. He was the rejected, unloved man. He's still responsible for his actions. But what kind of life is that? What kind of life is nobody ever loves you? What do you think about life? What about our children? They come into this world. We see these little ones. We love them, or we say we love them, or some people say they love them. And what is our role? What are we supposed to do? And we're looking, of course, role of children, and we're going to get into role of parents. But let's think about this, because in this little section, we got role of children and role of parents, and it all ties together. And if you're in Colossians 3, you remember in chapters 1 and 2, it tells us who we are in Christ. In chapter 3 and 4, it tells us how to live out who we are in Christ. We're to live raised up as those, you know, that's the key. And then in chapter 3, verses 18, 19, 20, and 21, you can take those four verses and put it together. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, not exasperate your children. There's all four of the roles right there. Wives, husbands, children, parents. And that's sort of the pattern we've been using. We started with the role and responsibility of the wife. We've gone to the role and responsibilities of the husband. We've now moved to verse 20, the role of the children. We're going to talk about that, role and responsibilities. And then we're going to talk about the parents. And so we're going to look at that. And that's going to take us, it's going to take us some weeks. And as I told you, I'm still building this. I have an original study that I put together, but I'm still adding to it and things. And so the original outline may change. Instead of whatever number of lessons I originally told you, but it may be more lessons than that. Or we could just have big old lessons. Who knows what it's going to be? But anyway, it's going to be. Now, let me tell you about the family. Look at this. Christians' homes don't just happen. They're built. You remember this saying, and I've said this a bunch of times, and it's this. If you are not consciously being transformed by the Word of God, you will unconsciously be conformed to this world. Now, that's a truth. And that's what happens in our families. Not only does it happen to you individually, if you are not consciously saying, I'm going to live my life based on the scripture, I'm going to put the word of God in my mind, I'm going to renew my mind, I'm going to know the things, so I won't be conformed to this world, I won't be conformed, but I'll be transformed by the renewing of my mind. If you don't consciously do that, what's going to happen is you're going to be conformed to the world. But in our families, it's the same way. If we're not consciously saying, we're going to live by the truths and principles of the Word of God, we're going to make this thing happen. We're going to build a Christian home. If we don't consciously do that, we'll unconsciously be conformed to the world. That's what will happen to us. Because it's there all the time. It's in every show. It's in every music. It's on the TV. It's on the computers. It's in life. It's in books. It's in magazines. That whole view of the world is just pushing us, and we consciously have to develop it. We have to consciously do it. We thought about that baby dedication, as I said, how beautiful those children are, but they're sinners. They're sinners. The old saying was, we want to teach them to walk and talk, and then as soon as they do, we want them to be quiet and sit down, right? I wish they would talk and walk, and then we say, sit down and be quiet. As they move to adolescence, what happens? Whoa. What was it Bill Cosby said? He said, their teenagers are brain dead. They something happens to their brain, it shuts off. It doesn't even work. Mark Twain said this, when they get 13, put them in a barrel and feed them through the hole. He says, when they get 17, plug up the hole. They're so funny, aren't they? We train them up so they'll be able to leave home and function in society and make a difference for Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we want them to do? We want our kids to make a difference for Christ. How do we view our children? Psalm 127 says they're gifts of God. I read that when we did the baby dedication. I said, that's what they are. They're gifts from God. And by the grace of God, if you've got children, you can say, I got children. It's the grace of God. How are you viewed by your parents? What, you know, there are people, and over 20, almost 27 years I've been here, you know, there are people who come in my office, and when you talk about their home life, their family, their background, it's terrible. It's terrible. If they had a mama or a daddy or whatever, it was not a good situation. It was bad. I mean, you know, when they say they think a dad, it's not a good thing. Or if you said to them, how did your parents view you? I've had people say to me, my parents saw me as something in the way. Something in the way. How would you like to go through life believing that you're just something in somebody's way? The character of our children tomorrow depends on what we put in their hearts today. I want to look at 20 and 21. Look what it says. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, parents, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Those two go together. There's an old saying that says this, it's easier to build a boy than it is to mend a man. It's easier to build a boy than to mend a man. I've had men come into my office and they're in their 40s and 50s and they're still trying to please their daddy, who may be already dead. And they can't get past it. That's why you cannot compare yourself to other people saying, I want to be like this person. Because you may not measure up to what you think you ought to measure up, and then you're going to always feel that way. I read this the other day. It says, a child that is allowed to be disrespectful to his parents will not have true respect for anyone. I've had people say something like this. Oh, man, they don't treat us very well at home, but they're really nice to their teachers and stuff. That's just for a time. Because what's built at home ultimately comes out. When people have disrespect for authority in their home, they will ultimately have disrespect for authority out in the world. And you know what happens to people who have disrespect for authority out in the world? What happens to them? They end up where? In jail. They do. Or they end up dead. One of the two. It's powerful. Verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Notice it doesn't say some things. Be obedient to your parents in all things, not some things. But this is what pleases the Lord. The Lord says, that's a good idea. Good job. I want you to do that. In turn, verse 21, fathers, the parent is the head of the home. Both mother and daddy are involved, but the father is responsible. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. That leans to frustrate them. Do not frustrate your children so that they will not lose heart. They say, I give up. I never can do anything right. It's never the way it should be. They never care about me. No matter what I do is never enough. Don't make your children angry. Love them. You can discipline. Wow. Since we started a little bit late, we don't have as much time, but let's start with the children. Verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, what I want to do is, by the way, that word children there, in verse 20 is the Greek word technon, T-E, basically T-E-K-N-O-N. And it means a little one, and it could mean a grown man who's still the child, you know, the offspring of somebody. So this word has a wide range. When he says children, obey your parents, it has an idea of not just a little person, but a person who is basically under the authority of someone else. Especially, they're talking about the parent-child relationship. Now, I want you to understand something, and in this lesson, we're going to look at the rights of the children, and in the next lesson, we're going to look at the responsibilities of the children. I'm going to give them to you both right here. Look at what it says. Here are the rights of the child. You ready? They have the right to be born. Doesn't it make your heart go, yes. They have the right to be taken care of. Why is it just lately, I don't know if it's just me, but lately I've been watching on the TV and they're finding these homes where these kids are filthy, dirty, and nobody's taking care of them. And you know, the parents are into drugs and they just come up and they have to take these kids because these kids are just there and some of them weigh almost nothing because they're getting no food. And they have the right to be taken care of. And then the third thing, they have the right to be taught. And we're going to talk about what to be taught. We won't get it today. Because I just know we're going to run out of time. We have the right to be taught. Now, let me show you children's responsibilities. You know what it is? To obey their parents. As long as children are under the authority of their parents, they are to obey their parents. I don't care if they're 30 years old. If they're still under the authority of their parents, they are to obey their parents. We'll talk more about that. Children have the responsibility to honor their parents. Honor has an aspect of the respect for the position. Someone may say, you don't know what my father was like. I'm not going to honor him. I say, to honor doesn't mean that you say, he was a good man when he wasn't a good man. It means you honor that position, that is the father that you had. And you honor them. You obey your parents as long as you're under their authority. You honor your parents for as long as you live. As long as you live. And the third one. Oh, you ready for that? To provide for your parents. Is Catherine here? Catherine, Remember this one here. When I'm in the wheelchair and you're pushing me around, I want something to eat. Don't you not gonna get nothing to eat. Fix me a sandwich. Okay, anyway. banana pudding or whatever. The truth is, to provide. A lot of times children say, what do you mean provide? There may come a time, we're going to look at it in 1 Timothy, there may come a time if mama or daddy is not able to take care of themselves, whose responsibility is it? It's a powerful truth. So, has the first bell rang? The second one has not rung. Okay. All right. Let's do this. Let's just talk about this for a second. I want to end with this one. Let's look at the first right, the right to be born, the right to come into this world. The people who take that away, by the way, we know that. They have the right to be born. You're going to conceive them? You better get them into this world. I mean, we're talking about, look at that. Is that little baby? Look at that. Is that the most beautiful thing you've ever seen? Thank you for coming today and being a part of our class. Now, first of all, you're going to have to take care of them when they get old. You understand that? She does. The right to be born, the right to be come into this world. Over 1.5 million babies aborted every year. You know, they said, I don't know what we're going to do about Social Security because there's just not enough people to support the people going on Social Security. What happened to the people? We aborted them. When was Roe v. Wade? 19 what? 73. We just aborted 1.5 million people every year for a long time that they would be paying Social Security. They would be in our, they would be productive citizens. They would be doing things. Right? What happened? We just eliminated a whole section of our society. Because we said they were not valuable. We said they're not unique and created by God. Because that's what the Bible says, Psalm 139, unique and created by God. But we said, no, they're not. That's why they're not even really a person. Did you know the arguments are going on? We talked about this in both my Tuesday morning and Thursday morning men's group. We talked about the fact that there are people trying to push things to say that even after the birth of a child, that's not a person yet. They're going to move that way. Francis Schaeffer in the 70s. How shall we then live and whatever happened to the human race? You go back and read those books. He saw things way before everybody else saw them. He said there's going to come a time that you'll have abortion, you'll have infanticide, you'll have euthanasia. They all fit on one another because infanticide is the killing of infants. See, if you say there's not a person in the womb, pretty soon you're going to say it's not a person out of the womb. And then when you get old enough that you can't take care of yourself, we're going to say it's not a valuable person, that's euthanasia. And that's what happens. And we see our culture is all moving that way. Is that not true? So we got to be careful. Babies, people have a right to be born. Are you going to conceive them? Bring them into this world. The second bell already rang, didn't it? It did. Okay. Heavenly Father, help us as we think through this next time and as we continue to think about the role of children and the role of parents and all of these things. Thank you for the rights of these children to be born and to be taken care of and to know the truth and those things. And Lord, I just pray for all our children and I pray for our parents. Use us, Lord, for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. We'll get more. Next time, next week is Easter, so in Sunday school, there will be something dealing with Easter, and then we'll get back to this.